Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I think it's kind of like anything else that's sort of like a little bit of baggage that you might have with you. It's kind of like not about the issue and more about like how you're framing it and how you're dealing with it. So if you're like, yeah, I've got like $200,000 in student debt and like, we'll see what happens. Like I have no plans. You know, like that's just life. Like that would probably scare me a lot more as like someone who is dating you than if you were like, yeah, I've got this debt, but like, here's my plan to like pay it off. And like, I've got it under control. And like, I have a plan. I have a way that I'm dealing with it. I'm just not like dating until like I can find someone to pay it off for me.
Yeah, I think that, and I totally agree with like, listen, everyone has a house. Is it in order or is it not? Like, I don't want to date someone with a house that's out of order. You know, having debt isn't the problem, is just like Jordana said, like it's just not dealing with it. Like, mm-hmm. like if someone told me I have $100,000 in debt and I pay $100 a week and I'll pay it off when I'm 52 years old, I'd be like, good for you. Like yeah. that isn't like, at least you have a plan.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your co-host, Erica Spera.
And I'm Molly DeMillier.
And we have two of our favorite past guests this week together. So excited. We have Jared Freed and Jordana Abraham from the You Up podcast together talking all about finances and relationships.
This was such a fun episode. I feel like I was just like in my glory talking to them both on the screen together. It was so much fun, and absolutely everybody knows we adore them and love everything that they do, and it was just really neat to get their perspective on finances.
Yeah, they have two different situations.
They do,
but both are living with their partners now. Mm-hmm. So I loved it. It's intriguing. They get, you know, they get personal, not too personal, but personal and very honest. And I don't know, I love this whole ep. Do you feel like there's anything that we didn't cover with them that you felt like you wanted to add?
I mean, I just think the thing that's so interesting about money and why I wanted to talk about it is that it's something that people always say you can't talk about, but it's also something that everybody makes assumptions about.
Yes, very
you
true.
You know, that it's like you, like I think about the way that I grew up. It's like everybody always thought that I was like the rich kid when I went over to the public school, because I went to like a private school at first. And my first day of school, when I said the street that I lived on, I didn't know that it had like a stigma for being for like the rich people. And people wouldn't talk to me.
Are you serious?
Yeah. This girl was like, oh, you're a rich kid, I can't talk to you. I had no idea. And like, that is not like, my mom was a teacher, my dad was like a traveling salesman. Like, that is not what. And so I'm like, oh, people just think because of the street that I live on that we're like loaded and I'm this just like rich bitch, which was like the furthest thing from the case.
Yeah.
Like, so that was something that just growing up had always been so, so different to me. Of like, then I just had to start telling people like, oh, I live near the lake. So then I just had to sound like a moron. Like, I didn't really know where I lived. But I didn't want people to know, because I was like, I don't want them to think these things about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. And it's just, it's so interesting, because I'm like, oh, no one ever asked, but they made these assumptions about my character. And that wasn't like the only time that that happened. Mm-hmm. And like, I went home and I talked to my mom about it, and she was like, yeah. She was like, you can't tell people anymore like where we live in that school, because the school that I had been to, like all the kids in my neighborhood pretty much went to. So that's why I also didn't know. It's just because I had, you know, grown up, we all went to this other school. And then when I wanted to play sports, we switched to the public school.
Yeah.
No idea.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wait, how old were you when you switched?
It was sixth grade.
Okay.
So right before middle school.
That's, but that's like a good, like young enough where it's like high school would be tough of just making friends.
Oh, yeah.
Like to get this like rich thing that people were saying to you. But I just was like, oh, yeah. Like middle school, I feel like is everyone goes in with certain friends and comes out with different friends for the most part. For women anyway.
Yeah.
It's like that's when a lot of the cattiness and cliques and whatever form.
Yeah.
But I was like, damn.
No, it was crazy. And that was also like during the time where like I knew we weren't loaded by any means because like my dad had just gotten rid of his business because he was in travel, and after 9/11 he like had to get rid of it.
Oh yeah.
And so the job that he took, like, money was tight. Mm-hmm. And you know, my mom, like I said, was a teacher. Like, we were budget family, and like, we would talk about it. We would, you know, we knew like how much we could spend on groceries. Like, we kept things really tight. So it's like my parents hustled so hard, and suddenly I was just so confused.
Right.
So I think it's fascinating to have a conversation about how people talk about money with their partner, because it's such like a personal thing, mm-hmm. and not without making assumptions about them too.
Yeah, Jared has a great quote. He says, "Of everybody has a house, mm-hmm. and is your house in order though?"
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, a lot of people are not living below their means, or are living exactly to their means, so they're not saving anything.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that might seem really flashy and they have all this money, and it's like they actually could be in way worse financial standing.
Yeah.
Than someone that you would maybe assume just based on their house size.
Yeah.
Isn't doing as well.
Yeah. So, it's so many people don't understand disposable income, and that like,
yeah,
because you make $2,000 a month doesn't mean you shouldn't get an apartment that's $1,500 a month.
Yeah, right,
you know,
exactly.
Like those decisions.
Well, it's funny, I budget stuff out, especially like we're moving and the place is more expensive, and I remember I sat and I budgeted, but when I budget, I put in my paychecks after like what's taken out.
Yeah, of course.
Like I'm like, but I was sitting there being like, wow, maybe there are people that it's like, or especially I guess with your first job, you might make that assumption.
Yeah,
even how much gets taken out.
And then you look at a pay stub and you're like, fuck.
right. Well, when I do freelance work, like it's 30%, which
wow,
is
that's
literally
a lot
higher. But so then I've always just learned to calculate 30% of anything I make, 30%. And actually, an interesting thing, I listened to Whitney Cummings talk about finances, because she never had money ever. Mm-hmm. And then she was making a crazy amount of money, but she didn't realize, because it's, you know, freelance comedy. Mm-hmm. She's making so much money, it was going to be 50%.
Damn.
And she like had a meeting with a financial advisor, and she was like, they just taught me to be like, okay, if you're going to go buy a shirt, and the shirt is $60, he goes, you need to think this shirt is $120. Because that's how much money you need to make to buy that shirt.
Wow.
Like, but it helped her with like spending, because she actually had a bunch of debt and owed like a bunch of money, like for taxes, and it was wild.
Yeah.
But she's someone too, like I look at her, I'm like, you're so amazing, successful, and she is.
Yeah.
But it's just like, oh wow. Like there were years where you were making so much money, but your tax ways completely changed.
Yeah.
So you were like, oh, I'm not making as much as I thought I was before. And I was like, that's a mind fuck too.
That's nuts.
Especially when she was like, I never had anyone that had money or made that much money that knew what the taxes even were.
Yeah.
So she's like,
it's crazy.
Yeah. She's like, that was very, very interesting. I saw like some clip where she was talking about it.
Wow.
But I kind of was like, damn, what a baller place to be. Like, I'm getting taxed at 50%.
It's like, the goal, but it's not the goal.
Yeah. Like it's like pretty bad. Ass, but at the same time I was like, oh, that is a mind fuck.
Yeah.
But speaking of money, you guys want to join the Patreon?
Help us get taxed 50%.
Yeah, right. I know. Or 30, I don't even know what's happening. Depends on what it makes for the year, so that's up to you guys.
Yeah.
You want us to get taxed more, join the Patreon. we'll contribute more to the economy. But yeah, patreon.com/shooters gotta shoot. A lot of stuff going on there, especially as the weather's getting warmer. There
we got
are
some stories.
Shots being shot, and we are having a good time.
Yep.
But yeah, join us. It's $5 a month minimum if you want to get the stories, get the juice. But also, if you want to support the pod in a free way, just leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us out. And I think that's it. We got to get to our guests.
Yeah, let's do it. Woo! I was born a flex. Yes. Diamonds on my neck. I like boarding jets. I like morning sex. Woo! But nothing in this world that I like more than checks. All I really want to see is the money. I don't really need a D, I need the money. All a bad bitch need is the money. I got pants in the coupe. You've heard them on the You Up podcast.
They are a repeat guest by request.
It's Jordana Abraham and Jared Freed.
Woo! Thanks so much for coming back, guys.
Thanks for having us. I'm excited to be back with Jared this time.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got us both. This is great.
Yeah, we are especially excited because we're going to be talking about finances in relationships. And Molly and I don't have experience in that department yet. So, you know, we always talk about what would we do. And it's great to have both of you on who have now moved in with your partners.
And we love talking about money. Like it's one, I think it's because people are like, oh, you shouldn't talk about this. And we're like, we would love to talk to you about this then.
So first to start, Jordana, you have something that we have referred to as the Jordana method.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel very honored.
Look at that.
Trademark it.
Well, we mostly loved, because I have never heard of people doing this before, and Molly and I think this is an awesome idea, of basically when you moved in with your partner, you guys opened a joint credit card together and, correct me if I'm wrong, bank account together as well?
So the bank account didn't come until, the joint bank account didn't come until we were engaged.
Oh, okay. All right.
The joint credit card happened when we were moving in together. I got the idea from Aileen, my Betch's co-founder, actually, who had moved in with her boyfriend and done the same thing before. So it's really, I guess, the Aileen method, but I'll take the credit for it. And it just made, I would say, like, the opening of the credit card together just made it easier, because it was like, we were buying new furniture for the apartment. We were like spending a lot more, I would say even more time together, buying like all our meals together. It was just like an easier thing, I think, than like either like switching off paying or one person paying. It just made every decision like that much easier. It's just like, we'll put it on this credit card and then we would split the bill at the end of the month. It was like just easier to think about in that way.
If I could add on to that, I think like now hearing you talk about it, Jordana, like I'm like, the good about it is it kind of like gamifies it. It takes a difficult conversation and makes it such a not like makes it such a not personal and emotional thing. Like it does, like you just go, is it a card thing or not a card thing? Like that's a more fun conversation than, so what are we doing about this money we have to talk about? Like it's just like I like, because I'm hearing you talk about it, and I don't have this I don't have the Jordana method going on in my apartment, but I do think that this takes a lot of the fear of talking about it out of it, because it's just like, is it a card thing or not a card thing? Is a little bit easier. That been the thing? Yeah.
Definitely. And I think talking about like almost like gamifying it in a way, like I know you're in the Delta points game, Jared, but
absolutely.
Now we're in the credit card points game together. And it's kind of like it started, I think it was a great thing to do as our relationship got more serious, because it's like, you know, these are our points where now we have like a ton of points we're going to use for our honeymoon. So it's like,
oh, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of like making it so we had like more of a shared, like when we're looking at it now, like how much we're spending, we're looking at one number at the end of the month, and that's like how much we spend as a couple together. And especially like in COVID, like that's, I would say, the vast majority of what we're spending together, because we don't have any other plans or friends and or hobbies.
And the payment at the end of the month, at the very beginning, was it right down the middle, or did you do it based on income?
It was just down it, in the beginning, it was down the middle, our rent's down the middle. And then once we got engaged, we opened a joint bank account together, mostly because we were like putting in money for our wedding. So like if any of our parents wanted to contribute, it would like go into that. And it was easier just to be able to pay out of like one thing and to just see as a couple how much like we were dealing with when we're making these other decisions. And that started to change the way we put into it. And now it's sort of put in by percent. We each put in like a percent of our any money we get, whether that's like a salary or bonus or anything like that, or anything that comes in, part of it goes to our personal and part of it goes to our joint. We still have our own separate bank accounts.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of like that like filtering down method instead of just, I think like a lot of us from like our parents' generation thought like, okay, the day you move in and get married, all of a sudden you have one bank account and then you move on from there. And I kind of like this, like slowly paring it down. So you still have like your money to work with for the things that you want to do.
Yeah. And I think the joint account and the percent thing also just, it actually almost like makes you feel like more of a team. I think, because it's like when you win, I win. When you get a raise, I get a raise.
Love that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also true, yeah.
Yeah, so it makes it like it's when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's like bad for both of you. But it just kind of makes you like you're on one side together, and like anything you gain is for the both of you, and anything that like you lose is not for the both of you. But also like I do think it's really important to have your own separate bank accounts, because like everything else is so combined. You're living together, you're in the same bed. Like you can have your own money. I think it's like very nice to be able to spend what you want to spend without having to like run something by someone.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's something that people should have for like the entirety of a relationship? Like, do you ever foresee yourself getting rid of your personal bank account?
No, I don't. I don't see like why. I think first I have friends who are like, you know, it's all one pot. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of like, there's so much shit that I want to spend on, or like for him, it's like, there's more stuff that I want to spend on that he's like, we don't need that. Where I'm like, you know what I mean? It's like, just gives me more personal freedom. I don't think every aspect of our lives needs to be like so intertwined that like, I couldn't decide where I want to go on a trip with my friends and spend whatever I want because it's in my own, you know, bank account. I think it just makes it so like the things we do together, we have to be on the same page on, but like also we're allowed to have different interests and different things that we want to spend money on. And that comes from our own personal like accounts.
Mm-hmm. Jared, what about you? Do you think in the future when you're married, you will combine everything, or do you think you'll kind of do a hybrid like Jordana's doing?
I think it would be a hybrid. That would probably be more. And especially because like, I think it's different too, based on the ages you get together with someone. Like there's so, like, listen, if you're college sweethearts or high school sweethearts, like I think that's a totally different thing where you're like, some people, you know, us New York City people would be like, who gets married to their college sweetheart? It's like, no, there's, you know, like, but like there are people out there that's like, you guys are like growing up together. Like, you know, Jordana, you met Mike when you were what, 28 or something? Like you already were you were starting a business. You had a business, like you had your own thing going on, like that he wasn't there creating with you. Like I can understand where someone's like, no, when you went off to work, like where everything's just combined because it's like at 23, you know, they, you know, you both are in the same boat where you're starting your careers. So like, I do think a hybrid makes sense when it's like in these kind of like older relationships. I'm 36 right now and I'm like, yeah, there's going to be things that are ours. There's going to be things that are mine. There's going to be things that are hers. And I think that's like, I think, again, what Jordana did with the Jordana method is like such a, I think that helps it because how do you know what's yours and mine and ours? It's mm-hmm. And that becomes a very emotional and tough conversation.
Yeah. Also, like when both of you are 23, fresh out of college, it's like, you can't afford a one bedroom on your own. You need dual income to even afford a one bedroom or a house and a mortgage payment, whatever it is.
I think it's interesting to think about the stuff before you got together too. And one of the things that always crosses my mind is student loan debt. Like I'm someone, I have a lot of student loans. So it's like, would my partner have to take on my debt? Or is that something that people should, you know, as they get further in their relationship, they should always individually pay on?
That's good a tough question. One. It's a good question. I think that's different for everybody. I think I would definitely think to myself like, oh, you have this debt. Like, I think like you get married, like that becomes both your debt. Like it's part, like you guys go buy a house together. Like you're both on the mortgage. You're both on the, you know, like you both your credit scores are kind of looked at, I think. Right.
Your tax returns are filed together, whether you have your separate together. Account or you don't. Like your income is filed together. So.
So yeah, that's a part of the relationship thing. I don't know, like if I was making, you know, no money and then my wife was like, and here's my debt, I'd be like, oh God, I'd be a little bit, maybe, you know, there would have to be a conversation, right?
It's kind of an interesting thing that I find of when to bring something like that up in dating, because I think sometimes men, especially New York City men with really good jobs, they might think that a woman is just trying to like get it paid for, but student debt is something that people really talk about. So it's like, okay, how do I not come across as dishonest of having this big debt that I have to pay, but also not make you think that I'm just trying to get someone to pay my bill for me?
I think it's kind of like anything else that's sort of like a little bit of baggage that you might have with you. It's kind of like not about the issue and more about like how you're framing it and how you're dealing with it. So if you're like, yeah, I've got like $200,000 in student debt and like, we'll see what happens. Like I have no plans. You know, like that's just life. Like that would probably scare me a lot more as like someone who is dating you than if you were like, yeah, I've got this debt, but like, here's my plan to like pay it off and like I've got it under control and like this is my, you know, like I have a plan, I have a way that I'm dealing with it. I'm just not like dating until like I can find someone to pay it off for me.
Yeah, I think that, and I totally agree with like it's listen, everyone has a house. Is it in order or is it not? Like I don't want to date someone with a house that's out of order. Like it doesn't have, and that could not mean, that could mean debt. That could be, you know, having debt isn't the problem, is just like Jordana said, like, it's just not dealing with it. Like if you're like, yeah, I'm going to pay the, like if someone told me I have $100,000 in debt and I pay $100 a week and I'll pay it off when I'm 52 years old, I'd be like, good for you. Like, yeah. that isn't, like, at least you have a plan. Like,
true.
You know, like, I would be like, okay, but, you know, I've dated people in the past where they're like, where they've been like, I have this debt that I could pay, but I don't want, like, I don't want my family knowing about it. And, mm-hmm. and then you see stuff like that and you go, yeah, that's a can of worms. I don't know if I'm ready to open up, you know, like, and that could be, again, that doesn't have to be money. That could be anything. Like, you know, some people get into dating to like fix their problems with dating. And it's like, or yeah. they, like they're
very true. Know, like,
so it's like, you know, you find that out as you get involved with someone. You're like, oh, this person has, you know, like, and I've been guilty of that too. Like, I'm not above that. I'm just saying, like, sometimes you're like, oh, I wasn't ready to be in this, and that can happen to anybody, I think.
Right. Definitely. Yeah, I think that's just like, it's almost like much. I feel like it's much more attractive in anyone if you feel like they're dating you because they want to, not because they like have to, whether that's like because of like their loans or their financial situation, or because they're like lonely or like sad. It's like you want them to feel like they would be great without you, but you guys come together and have a lot of fun.
Well, I was just thinking like depression. Like, think of something like depression. Like, if you dated someone with depression and they're like, I go to therapy, you know, this is how I deal with it. Like, I love my therapist, or I'm, you know, at least they're in that game of dealing with it. If someone just says, yeah, I'm fucking depressed, that's a tougher person to date for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, moving in with someone, I feel like, is very eye-opening in terms of finances, even just discussing, like, budget for the apartment. Mm-hmm. Because someone might say, well, I can afford, let's just say, like, $1,000 a month. But they might go, well, I like paying $800 a month because I save $200 every month into my bank account. Mm-hmm. Like, something like that is also just giving you a little window, like, oh, okay, they try to live below their means, or they're, like, planning for the future in some way. But we did want to get to you, Jared, because you have a different situation in your relationship. So before you moved in with your partner, you actually owned your own place, but then mm-hmm. you decided to rent an apartment somewhere else together. So we wanted to ask, I assume before you moved, you were like, hey, why don't you just move in here? And what essentially yes. made you decide against that and change your mind?
Well, I think that, you know, this has been a difficult thing for my relationship. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I think like, you know, I said move up here. And then, you know, Jordana and I talked about it, where it's like, women just don't want to like move in like clothing on the shelf, right, Jordana? Like, that was,
yeah, I've had a lot of friends who've like, you know, they didn't want to move into the guy's apartment because then they felt like they were moving into their apartment. They weren't moving mm-hmm. into like an apartment that was like kind of both of their homes. And then like, I don't know, I think there's a lot of like, who else has like been like, has he like slept with in here? And like, it's, there's a little very bit true. Of I mean, maybe irrational or irrational, but I do think there's a sense of like, we want our own new fresh start, new place thing that a lot of people have.
That makes perfect sense to me. Like, I hear that rebuttal and I go, okay, I get it. Yeah. So then I was like, okay, what's the process here? And this is kind of like, when I'm looking at dating stuff, I'm like, you have to do one thing before the other. So I was like, let's put the apartment on a rental site, see what happens. And, you know, I talked to my parents. I'm like, what do you guys think? My dad was like, here's the pros and cons of having someone rent your apartment. They're going to shit it up. They don't care about your apartment as much as you do. You care about that place. That person's just coming in to kick down walls. Okay, fine. Like, I okay. So then there's, you know, now there's, again, when we talk about money, now there's like, okay, now I hear like cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Okay, I'm going to have this much money, hypothetically, like I'm going to set aside this much money to repairs, dishwasher, sink. Like, I have to now be that person. And it's mm-hmm. like, but I'm doing that because I love my girlfriend. And I was like, I want to take this next step in our lives. And so we put the apartment on the market and it like 3 minutes gone. Like,
wow.
Renters right away. So I'm like, shit. I'm like, you know, there's a piece of me that's like, I'm a real estate mogul, you know, like, I should have charged 7 times this, you know, like, you get in your head like, oh, I should have charged this much. Now you start thinking like a landlord, you know, like, and so then COVID happens. We move into our place. Our place isn't cheap. We move into this nice apartment, nice amenities. It's a beautiful building. I'm living better than I've probably ever lived before, just because a woman's touch is just unbelievable. like hanging things on the wall, you know, like the bed is made.
Toilet seats down.
Like, this is a whole new world for me. And I'm enjoying the luxuries of that. And then midway through COVID, I get a message from the tenants being like, we got to move. We got to leave.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, okay, this is a problem. I can't just sit here paying a mortgage and rent. They were on a 2-year lease. So like the idea of this, again, for all of us, the idea of a global pandemic making it so that we're on the Jetsons right now doing video conferencing. None of us saw this coming. So this is what happens though, is like, it was kind of my first taste of like a real relationship problem that wasn't, we can't order all the appetizers at brunch. You know, and I think that's, you know, and I'm older, like, you know, everyone, I think what you find out is like, you find out more about you and your partner and how you guys are in times of like, what are we going to do versus we should move in. Like, I think we should move in is fun and beautiful and look at the couch online and oh my God, we're going to have this great neighborhood. We're going to go to dinners. And then it becomes, what are we going to do? And that's a different conversation. And it's like, well, I don't want to move up there. And I'm like, well, I don't either. But I also need to see, you know, I don't want to spend this much a month that I can't really afford. And so it's like, you know, then you're like, wow, I said this in like over the summer. I was like, pandemic either made you younger or made you older. And
yeah,
very true.
It's like, you know, the pandemic either made you move back in, living in your high school bedroom. You're 16 again. Backstreet Boys posters on the wall, or it made you and your partner have to have real conversations of like, so, and we found out we couldn't get out of the lease. I'm looking for tenants for my apartment. I ended up finding a tenant, you know, they're paying less than what I would like someone to pay. I'm like, you know, and so now I'm in this different financial situation dealing with that, dealing with like, you know, you don't want to like, get, you're like, oh man, we should have just moved in here. And you can't look at life that way. Like, I try not to, you know. So it's, again, like, these conversations are hard, and it's hard to like not look back and like, shoulda, woulda, coulda, but like, also it's just that's not good for anything.
Yeah, well, statistically, there's a stat that's like, when couples move in together before they get married, they're actually more likely to split up. And when they broke it down, that's not true. It's if you move into someone else's apartment, you are more likely to like split up. If you actually both go get your own place together and there's like a plan and there's a conversation and it's our place, you are more likely to work out. So statistically, Jared, you actually have made the right move.
Yeah, Jess will like to hear that.
So I'm curious for both of you guys, what piece of advice would you give to someone who sees moving in with their partner who's thinking about moving in with their partner in the near future, and they're trying to have discussions around the budget and how to divide rent
or mortgage if it's a house.
Yeah. So like how to start those conversations.
I think those are really, really important conversations that everyone assumes like, we'll just kind of like figure it out, but it actually can show you like the way you think about money and your values and all that. I mean, my parents, they've been divorced like over 20 years, but they would fight about money constantly, just like constantly fighting about money. And it wasn't even because there wasn't enough. It was just because like two crazy people, whatever. yeah, they were constantly fighting about money. It's just kind of like, it can, and I think what that also gave me was like my own kind of like messed up way of thinking about money, my own kind of like weird thoughts about like the way money should be spent. And not to say mine are like weirder or less weird than someone else's or right or wrong, but like I did have like a certain thought process about money, which wasn't necessarily the healthiest, just watching two people like fight about it constantly. So I think that like that was something I personally had to work through. And I think, and I worked through that with a therapist like currently, because it's just kind of like, just you want to again like kind of maintain a team like aspect. So I think the figuring out the way someone thinks about money, and more importantly, like why do they think that? Like, let's say they think it should be percentages versus like equal or something like that, or you should pay the whole rent or they should pay the whole rent. I think it's more like, why is that your mindset? And like, where does that thought process come from? And sort of unpacking that. And then I think you'll understand where they're coming from more, and seeing if you can meet somewhere in the middle or seeing if you can agree on something.
I think it just, those are just super important conversations to have, because the longer you're together, the bigger ticket decisions you're making, the more your finances are intertwined, the more someone else's financial decisions impact you. If someone's a reckless spender, that's not going to get better the further into your relationship you get. That's probably going to get worse.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like moving in is the time that salaries get discussed or disclosed in relationships? Or do you feel like that's something that should come up before that, or it comes up naturally? Or because I think that's the part that people kind of struggle with, yeah, is being like, this is how much money I make. And it's a very like full trust thing. You're fully letting someone in. And especially, you know, quote, if there's no ring yet, a lot of men might feel, well, I don't want to disclose that fully, because is that the reason they're with me or staying with me, or now want to get a place together, et cetera.
That's when you get the W-2s. When you apply, you got to both get that credit
check.
That's
a good point.
Very true.
Right?
Yeah. But you could send them separately, though.
It's tough to hide, I think, in that sense. And I think if you're trying to hide it by the time you're moving in together, like, it's a little, should you be moving in together if you can't be like honest with someone about how much money you're making? To me, that would be like a little bit of a red flag. Like, if we're trying to like become closer in this way, but you're still not really like divulging mm-hmm. all the information about yourself, then I would think that was a red flag. What do you think, Jared?
I mean, you and I have tackled this in two totally different ways. Like, I hear Jordana talk about this. I hear Jordana talk about this, and I'm like, this is so well thought out. This is so organized. I'm like, yeah, well, whatever. We'll move in. Sounds great. Like, I'm eyeballing. I'm like, yeah, I can afford that. I can't afford this. This is my, you know, I, you know, my girlfriend, her name's on the lease. I'm not even on the lease because she already lived in the building. So it was like one of those like in building transfers that like you didn't have to go through that.
Oh,
stuff.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
And which is exactly like, as you all know, that's a pleasure in New York, but it also allows for us to glide over, you know, real subjects. Where it's like, and I do think for a lot of men, it's a little harder to like reveal these things. Like, I think like, cause it's like a little bit of like, how big's your dick? You know, like, it's, and it's not the idea of making less than your partner, because I think that's kind of where this conversation normally goes. Like, yeah, you're intimidated by a woman making a lot of money. I think it's more that like, have I position myself to look like something I'm not. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing, because guys try to impress women. Guys want women to like them. Yes, women want men to like them too, but I'm saying like the idea of how you court and like, I'll pay for the dinner. Like a lot of that stuff for a guy is like the curtains are being drawn. Like, oh, that's what the pulley system looks like. Oh, that's how we made the drinks happen. That's why we've only gone out once a week or twice a week, or that's why he cooks for me. So I think there are a lot, you know, like I do think like, again, these conversations go down one road, but it's not even the right road. Like the right road is like, you know, it's the same thing in dating when you're like, hey, like when a woman has to be like, hey, are we like together? Kind of like, oh, the music stopped, you know, like you guys are like, and it's like, you guys don't want to have that conversation. You want the guy to be like, we're together, I love you, let's go to the next level. You don't want to have to like, you want to keep the illusion going. And it's like, I think that's a part of it for a lot of men where it's like, there's a little bit of an illusion. Like, oh, like I took you on that date. Now you know how much that date was a big or small deal to me. And mm-hmm. I think that's difficult. I think that's hard. And I think it's harder, again, based on the age of the relationship. If you're, you know, 40 dating someone who's 30, that's a different type of reveal than 24 and you have the post-college job that's in an office that, you know, you kind of know what everyone makes. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think, Jordana, I'm similar to you in having like these sort of like fears a little bit when it comes to money. And I think it's because when I was like 16, I was allowed to be a bank teller for some reason in my town. And I have no idea
where are you from.
very small
what,
town.
Mayberry. Yeah.
Norwich, New York, baby. Yeah, upstate.
Shout out. No, my sister and I look a lot alike. And I think I got the job because a lot of people thought I was her. And she's like 7 years older. Because people be like, oh, hey. I was like, nope, not me.
This bank really needs to be investigated. by the FCC. Yeah,
yeah, Molly approved people for loans. Yeah,
I did. Yeah, I was.
Oh, you did?
I couldn't even drive. Yeah, I was half the signatures on all that. You need two signatures. So I was doing like intense finance work before I was doing like advanced math. And so, but because of that, I saw so many people who you think that are really financially secure. I was actually managing their like overdrawn accounts and bounced checks and like really, really saw people that you thought had it together could not manage their finances and tons of loans and all that. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I think it put this fear of what do you do when you finally get in that situation with someone and you realize they can't manage money at all because it's so much more common than I ever thought until I had access to an entire town's bank account.
I had a very similar kind of experience to you where I sold life insurance. And mm-hmm. when you meet with people for life insurance, a lot of life insurance salesmen call themselves financial advisors, which they, you know, that is a true title, I guess. But you have to ask them, like, and I remember we would meet with people that were like working at like Goldman Sachs, and you'd be like, well, that's the bank that everyone wants to work at.
Yeah.
And these, and you'd be like, how much do you make? What do you do a month on this? What do you do a month on that? Like, you'd have to go through like a financial profile. Mm-hmm. The amount people knew was shocking. Like, yeah. how little they knew. About what they spend versus what they make, and then like how much they were leaning on bonuses. Mm-hmm. Like, you, it, again, just like it's almost like you're cutting open the stomach of a bear and seeing what they ate.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you're like, oh my God, there's a tire in here. You're like, it's like, and it's like, it is shocking because these are people that worked in finance. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you come to realize it's like, the old saying is like, or it's been said probably a million times, like, it's not about how much you make, it's about how much you spend. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, if you're a spender, then, and you're dating a spender, that can be a lot of fun. And then it's not fun anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, you know, when we talk about like talking salary or starting to combine finances, a lot of people are like, oh, I have no qualms about, I'll tell you how much I make. I'll open a joint bank account. We split the rent. It's easy. But then when you go like real deep dive, it's like, we've had people message in the pod being like, well, I don't want them to see like my investment account though. Or mm-hmm. like, I don't know if I would ever like add them to that account kind of situation or their 401k. And so it's like all those other things are also in this conversation, but usually not fully addressed. And like we've said in the episode, it's like, yeah, because a 401k is much higher when you're 36 than when you're 23. Right. So you're looking mm-hmm. at it like, man, I built this and I don't want to basically destroy it or lose it, you know? So
I think this is kind of a fun question of the male versus female perspective of, do you think you'd feel lesser than your partner if you paid less money for things like rent in the relationship?
Would I feel lesser? I don't know that I'd feel lesser. I have like a complex about money, I would say, about like having it as power, because mm-hmm. it was always that sort of like how it was seen in my family, like the person with more money just had more power. So I think that's something I'm trying to personally work through. So I think it would be great to not feel that way, but I think I might have like something in the back of my head that would make me feel like I was less powerful, which is a fucked up thing way to think, but I do think it's still like sort of there. What do you think, Jared?
It's funny, like, the, you know, we live in 2021 where it's like the person I want to be versus the person I am. And like, I agree with Jordana, like just paying less than my partner for where I'm living, I would just be like, I don't really know how I would be okay with that. But like, I can understand how someone would. Like, I can understand where it's like, this is the dynamic of the relationship. This person offers that to me, makes me feel comfortable being in that position. But I personally wouldn't feel comfortable. You know, like, it's like
you'd like to theoretically.
Yeah, I would it would have to be the situation. Again, like so many of the dating questions we talk about are situation based. And it's like I could understand, like this happens with weddings a lot where, you know, you have this old school, like the dad of the bride pays for the wedding. That's like an old school like type of thought. Sometimes there's a situation where the future husband is so loaded that they're like, you can't afford the wedding I need to throw.
Mm. Yeah.
You hear about these things mm-hmm. all the time where it's like that guy's the billionaire marries the millionaire. And it's like, and the billionaire goes, I appreciate it, but we have such needs.
It's cute. Yeah. It's cute that you want to.
Okay. Yeah. Like, that's the scenario I want to be in, where someone is so loaded that they're like, I have a living standard that you cannot understand, but I love you so much. But I would still need to pay. Like, that again.
But
if
we must have the fountains. Exactly. No. I appreciate.
Yeah. I appreciate that you want, you know, a toilet with a, you know, you don't need a guest bath. But listen, I come from a different, like, that, to me, that's one of those scenarios where you go, okay, I understand it. I'm made to feel comfortable. I don't feel like, I think if it's close, I'm just like, then we'll live in a cheaper place. You know, mm-hmm. like, I'd rather live in a place I could afford than in a place where I felt like I wasn't doing my part.
Yeah.
I can agree with that. I think a lot of men especially would, I think, feel that way. I think it is a little bit of a double standard. Mm-hmm. In that sense, I think there's a lot more women who would be like, I don't live in a place that I could potentially afford.
Well, I think also because men look at, like, if they were paying less, they wouldn't usually in their brain be like, oh, I'll just make sure I, like, clean up extra or get groceries. Yeah. Like, they don't want to take that role. So they're like, I would rather just pay half and there's no pressure on me to do X, Y, Z. Where I think a lot of women would just be like, okay, I'll just make sure I, like, do a little extra around the house and he'll appreciate it. And, like, then it feels even. But personally, I would hate that pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, a lot of men can live in squalor. Like, the idea that I need certain things. Like, I need space and fine, you know, like,
right,
like, and that kind of goes back to, like, my apartment that I own is in Harlem. Like, you know, my girlfriend was like, I don't want to live uptown. I want to be near my friends. I want to be downtown. I feel more comfortable downtown. Fine. Like, but to me, I was like, she was like, I don't feel safe in certain parts of, you know, Harlem, coming home at night. I'm a young woman. I understand that. Like, that's something I don't think about. And it's like, I think a lot of men are like, yeah, I'll live in the cheaper place that's bigger, but maybe in a part of town where a woman might not feel as safe as she would feel in a place that she does feel comfortable. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah.
I think so much of someone's attitude about how they spend money and where they spend money and what's important, what they value, just is so directly linked to how they were brought up and how money was treated in their family. It's like, I think, Jared, we've discussed this before where you're like, in my family, like, if you wanted something, you just got it. You weren't waiting for, like, your birthday or, like, Hanukkah or something like that. Sure, like, you just got it. You just, like, whatever you wanted. If you, you know what I mean? If you needed it, you just got it then. And I think that's, like, that is indicative of a certain, like, familial way of, that's how we see money. When we need something, we just get it. It's there. But I think that I thought that was interesting. Cause, I mean, like, I have 8 siblings. So it was like, that wasn't really the attitude, I would say. Not that mine was better or worse. It was definitely messed up in a lot of ways, but I think I always thought that was, like, interesting that.
Totally. And that's not something you can, like, unlearn. That's, like, comfortability. That's also, like, telling, like, your partner, like, he, like, also having the awareness. And I think that also comes with, like, age, of, like, knowing what type of dater you are, where your trigger points are. Like, I think, like, you know, it's really easy after a relationship to go, oh, it was all that person's fault. But it's a lot harder to go, well, this is how I am with money. This is how I love. This is how I, you know, like, you know, like, this is how I'm a bad partner and maybe things I should look at for the next one or warn the next one about. Like, where you go, listen, you know, and just like Jordana's saying, like, if you're getting with a family where they're like, yeah, we don't, gifts aren't important, like, you might not be able to, like, teach that old dog a new trick about gifts, or you might have to let them know, like, hey, this is important to me. I need a Hanukkah gift for every night of Hanukkah. This is how I do it. You know, it's like, I think this comes with, like, learning your way through how you feel with relationships and how you deal with people.
Yeah. Like, I need the birthday card and the gift. Yeah. I want the card more, you know, something like that.
Well, I think you bring up a really good point with family, in that they play such a huge role in everything. And I think also a lot of times family try to give unsolicited advice about money and how couples should spend it. So what do you guys think people should do if their partner's family is giving some unsolicited advice about their finances?
Can you give me an example?
Like maybe if they're moving in together and the boyfriend's mom is saying, you know, like, can you really afford that apartment? Should you be going there? How much is she paying? Like really trying to get into like right. the nitty gritty of their finances.
Jared, what do you think?
I think you have to be aware of how connected you are to your family with finances anyways. So you have to kind of do the math on, do they have a right to say something? Just because I think like a lot of people are like, stay out of my life. And it's like, well, you also, I also helped pay for your rent for the first 5 years out of college. Like
yeah.
that, you know, so it's like, you have to take a little bit of like, you know, you have to take some stock in how you financially relate to your family, where they might look at this person and say, hey, we've been, we're the original investors in you. And we see the company going down a road that doesn't make sense with our investment strategy. Like if you think of things that way, and also think of things with the, that your family is just there because they love you. They all, you know, I don't think any family gives advice because they want to see you do worse off. So I think like, it's easy to stiff arm family with that stuff because it's like, you don't understand. You don't get our love. And it's like, no, they understand a little bit. They're seeing from another perspective. Take them for their word. But I also think with all these things, you have to do the equation. You have to go, okay. And the equation isn't generally, it's, you know, it's it involves adding emotion into it, which is the hardest part. Like, okay. You people make a lot of money mistakes because of love. Like that is a
very true.
Very real thing. People may, you know, people will do things out of love that make them financially worse off. Like, so
I think the whole like, concept of engagement rings, right?
Yeah.
Show me how much you love me.
Yeah.
Paying an absurd amount of money for something that no one really needs.
Yeah. So parents are, yeah, exactly.
Tell them, Jordana. And,
that's right.
I mean, I'll keep it. But,
yeah. I'm putting that on the card inside of Tiffany, an empty Tiffany's box for my fiance, Jordana. Yeah.
That's my quote. That's the Jordana method.
Yeah, the new one. But I do think like you have to admit to how much your family is involved in the first place. If they aren't, yeah, you're the CEO. Make your own decisions. But you have to also like own up to like, you know, are you financially involved with your own family as well? Like, I think that makes sense that they feel they should say something.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the more financially intertwined you are with your family, the more that should be expected. And I don't think it's that big of a deal. But if you are financially independent, I would imagine that would give anyone else in your family a lot less power to think they have a right to comment on those decisions.
Yeah, I've known families to make the comment of like, hey, if you're going to move in with your partner, just know that like nothing's coming from the bank from us anymore. Not that if they even were fully reliable, but they basically were like, if there's problems, that's on you guys. This, you're making this decision. Right. This is your partner. You're moving in. That means we're out of the equation. And it's almost maybe a family's way of being like, are you sure? Yeah. You sure you want to make
them? I've heard of guys who like move into apartments that someone's like, the parents own and their parents are kind of like, if you want to live in this apartment, you have to like marry her.
I mean, yeah. they're basically like, not if there's a ring, because we're not going to let you live here for
like,
free.
Well, I can sort of see that where it's like, I'm not paying for this guy to live in this apartment.
Yeah, he's real comfy.
Right, yeah, you got to pay rent or get a ring, yeah.
I dated someone who owned whose family owned their place, and it was like a beautiful place, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. You know, like, I could see myself here.
Yeah.
You start like moving furniture around, but you do understand where that comes from. For like, you know, family money, this is all the hardest stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is all like, that's why I like the Jordana method. Like, this is the card. Like, it makes it so simple, makes such a difficult thing so much simpler. And, that's all, that stuff is so intertwined. And then like you see it when like you see it with your family as relatives pass away, like when a grandparent pass away, like Jews have the Shiva call, which is like a bunch of nights where people come to the house and like bring food. And But then it's like all the cousins. I remember like being at like family things, like being at a shiva call for like my grandmother, and you just see all the cousins like walking around like it was a flea market, like you know, this is and then you're like, oh, we're gonna have issues, like this is gonna be like 10 years of like who gets what, and it's like that's it's not something you can really ever avoid, the discomfort mm-hmm. with that conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think it's great you guys are normalizing the conversation. I think it's like definitely something that's very like, you know, people are want to like tiptoe around. But it is really important.
Yeah. And all right. So we have survey time. All right. So first we have some fuck, marry, kills, financial edition. All right. First one, fuck, marry, kill. Won't buy anything unless it's on sale. Will only travel using travel points. Will not buy house supplies until you're all out. For example, toilet paper.
Okay. I would kill the person who won't buy more household things until they're out. That's a big pet peeve of mine. That's why I have like 40 rolls of toilet paper in my apartment.
I agree with Jordan on that. Let's start. Well, I'm with you. Kill, because I'm a person that will go on Amazon and order like thousands of cups. And like to be without to be without like a paper cup in the morning to drink my coffee, I would be so. We'll both kill the supplies,
kill house supplies, and then we have travel only with travel points and won't buy anything unless it's on sale. So, what are we gonna fuck and what are we gonna marry?
I'm gonna marry the travel points person because I feel like it's more fun. Because, like, I'm gonna marry the sale person because it's more fun to travel with someone that you're just having sex with. So maybe it's the opposite. I don't even know. What do you think?
Well, I think the idea of the goal of the points together, like that's a fun couple thing. The problem is once you're on the trip, like you want to like spend, you're on vacation. If now's the time to penny pinch, then we live very unfun life. Like if I can't be like, let's get the nicer room or whatever. So I'm killing I'm fucking the travel points person. I'm marrying the sale person. The sale person, because that's like everyday stuff. Like who doesn't love telling people they got something on sale? Like that's great.
Fair.
True. Very true. And inspired by your podcast, we're gonna do a couple red flag deal breakers. So red flag or deal breaker. Whenever you get something new, they always ask you how much you spent.
Red flag.
Anything new, how much you spent?
Yeah, they always ask you. How much was it?
Deal breaker. Just because I can't deal with the person being like everything.
Everything.
That's like the first thing I tell someone whenever I get a compliment on anything. I'm like, thanks. It was whatever amount.
Women do that. Women do that. Like,
with clothes.
I love your shirt. It was on sale. Only cost this. My God. Where'd you find it? It's as if you're like this, like you guys all want to like, there's a dick swinging competition of like that. You guys are all explorers that found the right thing at Bloomingdale's. Like there's like,
right. Without having to.
Yeah, exactly.
Know, bargain hunters.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. Red flag or deal breaker. Whenever you go out to eat, they always try to guess the check total.
My family does that. That's a fine. I'm okay.
My family does it too. Yeah. That's how I thought of it. It's like a weird game. Like, how much do we think we spent?
I've never heard of that. That
yeah, right? Nuts. Like, especially when you know what would make me love the person? If I was like, we do it Price is Right style, and then they know what I'm talking about. Like, that's an endearing thing. Price is Right style is that you can guess it, but if you go over, then you're out.
We play that too. You got to be under.
Yeah.
That's fun. I'm going to start playing that. Okay.
You're in.
All right. How about they buy you something like a new shirt, then later Venmo you for half?
I'd be out.
Deal breaker. It's a weird amount of like mental fucking math that I don't want to have to do with every fucking gift.
Mm. I would just be super resentful. I think.
Okay. So you pay for half of a birthday gift for your partner's mom. Then when they give her the gift, they say it's just from them.
Purposely?
That's a liar.
Well, they leave you out of it. They didn't like think about it.
Yeah. I'd almost be annoyed if they said it was just from them, even if I didn't pay for it.
Oh. Interesting. It's your mom. You pay for it, but put
this
me on the card.
This is from me, Jordana.
It's from us.
Yeah, no, always from us. That's hilarious.
Yeah. All right, last one, Jordana and Jared. They always get you a gift for holidays / birthdays, but they never get you a card.
First time, I think it's okay because they don't know. But once I've like made it clear that I want a card and I don't get one, that's fine. But Mike, my fiance, does not care at all about cards, so he would not care. What about
you? I'm a lot like Mike. I'm the worst gift receiver ever. Like, I just don't look appreciative enough. I don't know when does the parade of me thanking you end. I have no idea how to handle it. And I've noticed that is something that I've noticed about myself in my older age, that I've less a good receiver than I should be. So the card, I'd be okay. Not a big deal.
All right. Thank you guys so much for coming on. This was awesome. And everybody, make sure you check out the U Up podcast if you haven't already, and follow Jordana at Jordana Abraham and Jared at Jared Freed. This was so, so fun. Thank you guys so much.
This was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you
Have
so
a great
much.
Weekend, guys.
Yeah,
bye.
Too.